Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host is Christina Liu.
Hello.
You'll have to change your outfit or something when we get ready.
I know.
For the
I think I should
show.
Just like do like quick change.
You're going to have to answer questions.
I'm wearing a lot of hats today.
Our next guest is Alyssa Catone from Family First Home Companions, and she is the director of community engagement there.
Yes.
And actually, we've met Alyssa before, so it's great to have you back.
Thank you.
And I want to just start this off very generically. Tell me about Family First Home Companions.
Sure.
And your, you know, role there.
Sure. So we are a non-medical home care company.
Okay.
We send companions into the home to support older adults and their families, specifically the family caregiver who takes on the role of providing support to their loved one. And we offer respite to the family.
Okay.
And so we do daily living activities. We'll do recreational activities with the person. We'll take them to doctor's appointments, grocery shopping, light housekeeping. So a lot of the things that just become a pain in the butt to do once you get to a certain age. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised Lucas didn't come in here. You're like, ooh, she said bus. First of all, you're going to give out your phone number. How does a person get in touch with you?
Sure. So our phone number is 631-319-3961. That's our Atlantia office.
Okay.
We're also located in Hicksville. And the phone number for our Hicksville office is 516-399-1265.
Okay. And we'll give them out again later in the show. But, I mean, you know, early we were talking with Parker, which is a little different.
Yes, we're actually partnered with Parker.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah, so we're partnered for their the grant that they were speaking about.
Okay.
We're one of the providers that they will refer to, and then we'll send someone into the home.
Oh, well, that worked out very well in coordinating today.
Well, they
Who's
were
the producer?
Who is that wonderful
woman? They were on last year, right before I came on.
Oh,
so it's we're in sync.
Oh,
yeah.
You guys are on the
we're
same schedule.
<That's
funny. laughs>
I
like it.
One of the things I know you want to talk about today also was ageism.
Correct.
So we're going to bounce around a bit.
Okay, great.
But the ageism, I think, is, and especially in today's world, it's very, very significant.
Mm-hmm.
Explain what ageism is.
So if you want the specific definition, it's stereotyping and discriminating against individuals or groups on the basis of their age. So that could go towards older adults or it can go towards younger people as well.
Right.
So I'll give you two examples.
Good.
For a younger person, if you have a small child and you say that they're too young to make a decision or too young to understand something, and then for an older adult, it would be they're too old to perform a task, they're too old to even make a decision for themselves, or they're too old to understand technology.
Okay, okay. And that's very true. And I'm not I know you had a different career prior to this, also involved in
isms.
And listen, ism goes hand in hand.
It's true. I mean, there's certain categories of isms, and it is.
Absolutely.
It's a shame because it is so true.
Yeah, and you know, ageism remains till this day the most institutionalized ism that's out there. Mm. But unfortunately, it's not recognized the same way that sexism is or racism. It's more accepted. And it's really not looked as a problem.
Right.
Yeah, which I think makes it even more difficult kind of solving, you know, because nobody actually wants to really just be like, oh, just this is what happens when you get old. You know, it really is. And I can think about it, as you said, that all like the stereotypes that go through your head that people say all the time.
Yeah.
Well, we're all part of it when you think about it. Oh, no, he's too old for that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, even myself, I'm sure you can turn around and say, should we pick Alyssa or say George? Well, George, he's too old. Let's go with Alyssa. Why?
Right.
Have the conversation first.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the same with the young people. You know, they're too young. And you know, and I've come across with some of the stuff I do with the town, some young people have gotten involved recently with the town. They're just tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Then I give people credit and I give them their share and their shot, rather. I don't care their age. I really don't have any isms in my mind, I don't think, with anybody.
Yeah, sure.
Unless you can't do something. Then I turn around and say, you're useless.
Yeah.
Get out of here. But
yeah.
Until that point.
Well, it's interesting because even with my past role with Sage, when I first started, I was, you know, 21.
Okay.
And the older adults said, well, why would they hire a young person to run older adult programming? And I really had to prove myself, and they really underestimated me for, I would say, a good 6 months. And
really, I'd accept that.
Yeah, yeah, because they thought I wasn't equipped and, or I didn't understand.
You didn't understand.
Right, the, their
yeah.
challenges.
This, it was same with me when I started Project Independence, because I was an intern right out of college. And I was like, all right, we're going to do this, you know, and here I am, you know, all these years
later.
Well,
it's the truth. All these years later, and I'm not going to push this to Christina at this point, but all the basic things that you run for Project Independence through the town, but if you looked at resumes, you're going to turn around and say, she's too young.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, let's get this 45-year-old.
Right. Yeah.
For whatever reason. I mean, and it's, you know, and again, it goes back to an ism.
Yeah.
And I do believe, or I want to believe, that all these things are getting less and less with the younger kids in school being taught. And they try to focus. I know with Lucas, some of the stuff that he talks about, it's amazing. They're talking about it.
Oh, even the questions he was asking
Your
wife. I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's so intelligent. He sounds like he's a lawyer.
No, he wants to understand.
Yeah,
and you just can't turn around and say, go do it, which is good. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
And a parent and a grandparent, whoever it is, should take the time and answer him.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, they should answer themselves when they're questioning who to hire. And you're a perfect example with Sage.
Yeah.
What could you offer? You offered plenty.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning, you had to prove yourself. And that sometimes it's tough because halfway through you're saying, you know what, I'm going to go someplace else.
Yeah.
Why do I have to fight?
Yeah.
You know, and then you lose good people from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Christina never did that.
So right. I kept on plowing. I'm still here. I'm still plowing along.
Power. So I really wanted to start off this discussion with just some of the things that we hear today about our older adults.
Okay.
In my experiences, when even with friends and family, when I say that I work with older adults, people ask why. And they make jokes that, they're cranky, they're hard to work with, they are needy, they're this whole list of things. And in my mind, they're this entirely different list of all these positive words.
I've never seen that other list. No.
Well, it's interesting because even healthcare providers, I've heard in nursing homes and hospitals, jokes just bounced around, and it makes the day go by. And if you're working with a certain population, you got to find the humor in it.
Right.
But at the same time, it can really negatively impact the population you're working with. A few things I'll point out is the term silver tsunami. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's referring to the aging population
growing. Yeah.
And medical providers use it. It's used in the British Medical Journal, the American Psychological Association, the New England Journal to Medicine.
Wow.
And it's talking about this population of people who are really coming, we have our baby boomers, and they're this tsunami. They're this tide
growing,
of, new challenges and new needs, but we're only looking to them as, disease and numbers in the healthcare system. We're not talking about them as individuals, and that happens very often in the healthcare system.
Yeah, it gets grouped 100%. Together.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why a lot of older adults are either undertreated or overtreated. So if a person comes in, doctors can sometimes overlook symptoms because they're saying, well, this is a normal part of aging.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Right, right, right.
Or they're overtreated because they don't have an advocate with them coming in, a younger person who is going to be asking these questions just to, hold the provider accountable. And the provider might be billing their insurance for astronomical prices for tests that don't need to be done. I mean, diabetes is the number one overtreated disease.
Is it?
Yeah. And who typically suffers from diabetes.
Yeah.
Right, right. Seniors.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
One of the things, and you're hitting on it, and I believe this very sincerely, but I don't think there's an answer to it, is the world, as complicated as we've gotten, has become two planes. We have the material plane, the spiritual plane.
Mm-hmm.
On a spiritual plane, you wouldn't be doing isms at all because everybody's one.
Yep.
Then you have the material plane that my boss is telling his boss, which is telling the other boss, we have to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go home, if you go into one plane, you're very respectful of the person.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you have to put your other suit on or your other clothes on, you become, he's just an item or she's just an item.
Yeah.
And we have to make that money and we have to sell her this pill because I'll make another bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how we put it back together.
It's hard.
Years ago, it didn't exist because you took care of mom at home. And then as we got bigger and bigger and got cities and everything else,
Is that how, do you find that in, you know, the U.S., that this is more institutionalized than other countries? Like, you know, how is that?
So you'll see in different countries, I mean, aging is perceived entirely differently. I mean, look at Asia.
Yeah.
What?
You know, they take care of their own. The older adult is going to is more likely to stay in the home.
Right.
Even with home care, we don't typically see clients who are of the Latinx community or African American because they're taking care of their own. It's rather interesting. I mean, if you talk about even the materialistic piece, ageism is so ingrained in us that
it's hard to.
In 2015, $114 billion was spent on anti-aging procedures, creams, whatever you want to call it. That's incredible. So that means that people view aging so negatively that they're going to spend money to reduce their physical aging.
Right.
It's crazy. So when you talk about people having issues with aging, so let's say I'm a 45-year-old woman and I'm really struggling with maybe I'm starting to show wrinkles or dark spots and I have this internalized ageism within, the likelihood of me speaking with an older adult about aging in a positive light is much lower than if I had a positive self-image regarding my age.
I know what you're saying.
You know, so a lot of it's projections too. You know, a lot of people don't like to talk about death. A lot of people don't like to talk about aging.
Yeah.
So indirectly, their subconscious views older adults differently, and they might not even realize it.
No, it makes sense because you don't even think about, you know, these things in that kind of framework, you know, but like it makes so much sense, you know, with all these literally you go into a store and it's like, you know, anti-aging everything. Every brand has like the anti-aging brand, you know, it's like the same thing.
You see what some of these people, the wealthier like Hollywood people have done. It's like, mother of God, look, I mean, you know, you can think you look good. And that's men and women.
Yeah. Well, and then if you're aging and you're a woman.
It's like a whole
The pressure is really on.
Right.
You know, you can't have wrinkles.
Right.
You can't have dark spots. You got to keep your body looking the same way that you did when you were in your 20s and 30s. And it's really not
it's
in the
rough,
realm of possibility.
No, 100%. This is, honestly, this is a tremendous conversation. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.